chapter number 11, if you will. And boy, just a familiar passage of Scripture, probably the most familiar passage of Scripture in the whole Bible to you here tonight. And so I want to preach out of that passage for you here. I'll just turn you away maybe a couple of times. Maybe I'll just quote some of the verses and save you just a little bit of time. The model prayer is found in Luke chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Lord Jesus is going to instruct his disciples on how to pray. And it's a pattern of prayer, by the way. It's not necessarily a pattern, a prayer to be repeated. Matter of fact, the Lord was kind of down upon people that just repeated prayers for repetition's sake, right? Just to say that they were doing a religious deed. He wanted meaning to your prayer. Not that I think that this is wrong to quote this prayer. Do not. But for just the sake of just saying this is my prayer just kind of really going through the motions of it, I think is where we struggle. Look what it says there in verse number 1 of chapter 11. It came to pass as he, Christ, was praying in a certain place that he ceased. One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice, please, tonight, if you will, verse number 2 particularly, where it says here, instead of them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Notice what it says. Thy will be done. Watch, here it goes. As in heaven, so in earth. As in heaven, so in earth. Think about that, by the way, here. So we know and we have through this particular passage here, heaven's will for earth. And we know that because we have the Word of God tonight. But the Lord Jesus himself has given us a perspective of how prayer ought to be done. And so God wants his will done upon the earth. And so many times we want our will done in heaven, don't we? I know that's how I pray. I don't know about you, probably a little more spiritual than I am. But I always want my prayer, my will done in heaven. And I pray that way. Somebody said, one of the preachers said in our Tuesday meeting here, and this is not where this message was driven from, but it was a good thought. He said this, prayer is not getting my will done in heaven, but heaven's will done on earth. Not getting my will done, but I tell you what, sometimes I pray that I want my will done. Father, let me, or give me, or give me for them. I sometimes pray, by the way, for you, and I want my will. I come to find this out, that God doesn't want my will for your life. God wants your will for your life. And he wants his will for your life particularly. And so I want to talk to you tonight, if I can, on this next 30 minutes or so on this subject, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. I want to show you some things that is the heaven's will that happen upon the earth tonight, okay? On earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you tonight for our time together. Let's pray you bless the few moments we have tonight. I'm glad God's people came back out, Lord, tonight to church service. Always, God, thankful when they come. And Father, they have a desire to hear the Word of God. Would you bless our few moments together? Help us maybe, God, to look at things a little bit different. Father, I know, God, that this really kind of shocked me when I read it. And then this dear brother made this statement, dear Lord, certainly I pray many times that my will might be done in heaven, but God, I wonder how often I pray that heaven's will be done in my life and on earth. And so help us today to get this truth tonight, just a simple one, I think, that will, God, kind of help the Lord to maybe change your prayer life a little bit. And God, I pray that you'd do it. We thank you for it, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we think about this time of the year, and we think about resolutions that we make, and we think about the resolve that we have to do things and to lose a little weight and to eat and have some healthier habits about us and to be diligent and about a budget and just a whole manner of things that we think about that we kind of renew and refresh. And it's a time to do that. And I would agree with some of those things. I don't make many resolutions. I don't make any resolutions because I don't end up keeping any of them. Amen. So I find that it's really words to me that really don't matter much. But you know, can I say to you, as we read this and the Lord writing this to his disciples, we find the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 through 13, which talks about the Lord's Prayer also. We understand here the disciples are trying to be taught about or have desirous about how to get their prayer heard in heaven. You ever thought about that? Now we know by faith and we understand by instruction and principle in the Word of God that our prayers are heard in heaven. And we understand there's some things that hinder prayer. We understand that sin will hinder prayer. Lack of salvation will hinder prayer. The only prayer God wants to hear is the call to salvation from those who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. But heaven's desire, if you and I understand it tonight, the way God wrote it, is to get God's will as it is in heaven done upon the earth. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about in your prayer time about, that's kind of changed my prayer here in the last couple of weeks as I've been praying to the Lord for different things. And, you know, most of the time, I think that if you would be honest, we want our will done on earth, done for us in heaven. You know, it's not wrong to ask for our will to be done or to be accomplished. And this prayer speaks to that, by the way. Look what it says there in verse number 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. That's our will, by the way. It's God's promise of provision. But it's our will. It's not wrong to ask for our will to be done. The only thing, qualification that God wants in our in asking and praying in our will is that our will match whose will? His will. And so how do we know that we're in the will of God? Well, we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God that gives us the oversight, if you will, and when we pray of what God wants to accomplish in our lives. Listen to what it says in verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And so he's saying in heaven, Lord, our will is that you would forgive our sin. And Lord, if you forgive our sin, we'll be quick to forgive the sins of others. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? But you know, God says if you don't forgive your brother on earth, God said he won't do what in heaven? He won't forgive you either. If you're not willing to take the process of forgiveness that God gives to you and I and bestow that upon others that offend us, then God says, listen, why should I bestow upon you forgiveness? And so we see that. Watch what it says in the latter part of verse 4. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And all of those prayers have to do with our will. And so it's not wrong for us to pray for our will in some certain circumstances in our life. But you know, our prayer should not dominate, the prayer that we want for our will to be done should not dominate our prayer life. And sometimes I feel like that's how my prayers go. I don't know about you, but I'm asking God for what I think should happen and asking God for what I want in my life. You know, it'd be good sometimes to just get on my knees and ask God, God, what do you want in this situation? And maybe to modify and change my prayer that I would say, God, help Brother Frank to recognize what your will is. God, I'm not exactly sure what your will is for his life, but God, I know he'll be a much better servant if you will accomplish your will in his life. But he'll never understand that until he opens his heart to receive what the Spirit of God has for him. Sometimes if you will forgive me today, my prayers are carnal. And my prayers are base, if you will, and they're not for the greater good of the spiritual health of the believers that I'm praying for and the others that I'm praying for. And so we find here today that this certainly is known as the Lord's Prayer. Most of us can quote that, but I'm impressed that God sees some things here that he wants done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice this, please. This is the only perspective we have where heaven and earth meet, and you know exactly what God wants in heaven and on earth. Why? Because the only person who could ever do that is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one that knows what the Father wants in heaven other than our Bible. And I understand that today. But what we need on earth as a man and going through life as a man and all the things that men and mankind faces upon the earth and the needs we have and the will that we can pray unto him in certain things as it lines up with the Word of God. But God wants, he knows what happens in heaven. He has the mind of the Father, if you will, please. And he knows what the will of God is in heaven that God wants accomplished in our lives. And so let me give it to you tonight. It's a couple of thoughts, please, on this particular passage on earth as it is in heaven. Number one, please, tonight, let me say this to you. I believe that heaven's will is that God's name be glorified. In heaven, it's heaven's will that on earth God's name be glorified. Look at your Bible there, please, and it's in that verse, isn't it? When you pray, here you go, here's the instruction, here's the pattern. He says, this is what heaven wants out of your prayer life. This is what the will of the Father is in heaven. This is what the want of the Father is in heaven right here. Watch. When you pray, say, what? Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I'm not necessarily against you quoting the prayer, but if we're quoting it just to substitute prayer, then it's really not very meaningful. The intent of this purpose never was for us to put it on a wall and memorize it and say it because it flows easy on our tongues. I'm not condemning you for it. I'm just helping you to see this is the pattern that God gives us because he works down a process. And the first process in our prayer is really based upon two things, giving thanksgiving unto the Lord and adoring him. Adoring him for his greatness and love and goodness. Watch what it says. It says, our Father which art in heaven, watch, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, by the way, is the Greek word hagiazo. And it means this, not that that's any important, but it means this. It includes not only the inward attitude or the outward action of a profound reverence and active praise. It includes not only the inward attitude and outward action of profound reverence and active praise, but also the personal godliness, loving obedience, and aggressive Christ-likeness, which reveal the presence of God in the life, which is His true earthly glory. So, boy, that's a whole lot. I'm quoting a guy by the name of Philip Crennel. But what does that mean? It's more than lip service. Isn't praise unto God more than lip service? It's easy for us to say praise the Lord. It's easy for us to give a mental assent to God without any physical action of life. Right? Without truly praising God in our life. What's the greatest praise that God gets? When we live godly in Christ Jesus. When our life is a walking testimony of our belief and our reality of the goodness and grace and blessing of God in our life. So what is the Lord Jesus saying when He's teaching this? When you pray, say this, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And so what He's doing is calling to our mind what the will of the Father is in heaven. That He would be center mass and that He would be the focus of our lives and that we would hallow. It comes from the Hebrew word hallel, which means praise, if you will, and the offering of praise unto God. Hey, may I say it to you tonight that God's name is not reverenced much on earth today, isn't it? You know, you can't watch a ball game hardly anymore for some coach or somebody throwing God's name out in vain, if you will. And you and I hear it in the workplace. Many of you in the workplace. And I always cringe when somebody uses the name Jesus Christ or God in a bad way. It always just kind of grates my heart, so to speak, if you will. Why? I just believe if they knew the God that I knew, they wouldn't do that. If they love the God that I love, that does so much for us and gives salvation, they wouldn't do that. You know, is God's name referenced in our lives today? Think about that in a personal way in your own life. When's the last time you just spent some time praising God? And does your life match the kingdom or the hallowed be thy name in the Word of God? Is His name praised and lifted up by a lifestyle that's consistent with the Word of God? Hey, listen, His name is thrice holy. It's interesting. Old Testament scribes, when they wrote the Bible, they copied it, hand copied it. When they came to the name Lord, they would change the quill and the ink. They would change it and throw it away. When they came to the name Jehovah, which is capital L-O-R-D in our Bible, every time they came to the name, they'd take a bath. It was so holy, they wouldn't even pin it. They wouldn't even pin it. It was so reverent and majestic to them. You know, but can I say the devil's done a masterful job of dumbing down the name of God, isn't it? We hear it everywhere, don't we? His name is flippantly thrown around in the world today. And it's just, it's almost like the word hell. You know, we use it so, in such a, you know, just an indiscriminate way, so to speak, that we have kind of minimized hell itself and the great penalty that it is and the great fear that it should impose upon the world that lives even today. Hey, Philippians 2:10 says this, and you know it, but it says at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. Watch. And things in heaven, of things in the earth and things under earth. We look at this and we say, listen, when Jesus Christ comes, every knee will bow, every head will bow, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's heaven's will on earth. It will happen. Nobody will be exempt from that, from the most vile heathen that ever lived to the most godly that ever lived. All will fall.
Amen. That's right.
And praise yes. God and confess Him as Lord. But can I tell you, that's heaven's will for earth right now. Isn't it? It's heaven's will for earth right now that we fall on our knees in reverent praise unto Him. Do you have that kind of relationship tonight that compels you to pray, to get on your knees and, hey, can I just be a little charismatic to you sometime? Can I do that okay, right? Can I tell you what sometimes I do? You won't fire me away if I do this. I'm a little nervous. I get in my prayer time in the morning. I'm not trying in any way to exalt anything I do. But can I tell you, Solomon lifted up his hands unto the Lord. Sometimes I just lift up my hands and pray. Can I tell you that the Bible says lifting up holy hands unto Him, doesn't it?
Amen.
And not only those hands, by the way, as I pray, but they got to be clean, right? So you can't praise God with dirty hands.
Right.
Hey, I think today, by the way, if we looked at this passage, I think heaven's will is that God's name be glorified on earth. Wouldn't you agree with me? Say amen right there. I know I can move on to the next point and don't need to stay until about 6:30 on this point, all right? Number two, how about this, if you will? Not only does heaven's will is that God's name be glorified on earth, but how about this? Heaven's will is that God's will be done on earth rather than man's. When it comes to a choice, God wants His will instead of our will done. You say, well, that's simplistic. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself had to face that in His own life in the garden, didn't He? You know, we often pray according to our own will, and not only our own will, but our will for others, if you will, also, as we've talked about. But God wants us to pray that heaven's will be done on earth and for others. This is what it says in James 4, that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so it's the God's will that we do things, not our will. And I often pray that as I pray for things that I feel like I need or I want, I've kind of started to change my prayer a little bit and say, God, reveal Your will for my life. God, let me know what You want from me, not what I think I should have and not what I believe the Scriptures say that I have. And although I have to take that because that's a truism, I understand the principles of the Bible that order my life, but I want God. You know, how can God ever show me what His will is if I'm so busy asking for my own will? And I don't ever hear, I'm never sensitive. He says, it doesn't do any good. I have a will for His life in heaven that I'd like to get into His life, but He has spiritualized Himself to the point to where He feels like that He knows, not angrily or not in rebellion, but He knows more than I do. And we find, by the way, here today that getting God's will accomplished on earth should be our highest endeavor and most important activity. We should always look for a way to glorify God and to get the will of God done in our life. God wants heaven's will done in government. Do you believe that today? He established human government. Do you not think that He wants a border wall? Trying to see if you're awake right there. You didn't know how to take that, did you? I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I surprised myself with that one. Strike that from the tape. Hey, can I say to you today that He wants it done in people's life, in every area of life. You and I know that today. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the will of heaven could be done in the government today? Yeah. Wouldn't that just be hallelujah, glory to God? Amen. Amen. Whether a border wall or not, I don't know. But listen, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus Christ was on the throne?
Yes.
One day it will be that way, won't it? I like what it says. Jesus prayed for the Father's will to be done on earth, even though He battled what? Man's will. Boy, He gave us a great example of man's will. And we understand His will was submitted to the Father's will, wasn't it? And I think He just said that if you understand His humanity. Boy, it's hard to get your head all around that. But understanding His humanity, watch with us. Let me just read the verse. Luke 22:42 says, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And He knew what the will of the Father is. He's in heaven with the Father. He knows what the will. He's one with the Father, the Bible says. So He knows what the will of the Father is. But I think sometimes that the Lord just gives us great examples when we say that God wants us to say, hey, there's a man's will and there's God's will. And man's will always has to surrender to God's will. Even when we don't want to, even when we don't like it. And sometimes, may I say to you, in just the even very simple things that you do in life, that we have to surrender our will to God's will. Can I ask you a question tonight, thinking about that thing? How do you pray for others? How do you pray for others about you? Listen, do you pray for your will to be done? Do you pray for their will to be done? Do you pray for God's will to be done in their lives? How do you pray for you? When you pray, do you pray for your will to be done, or do you really want heaven's will done in life and in the world around you? And sometimes heaven's will is so diametrically opposed to our will, different than our will, that it's uncomfortable. Sometime when the will of God is done on earth. Can you give me the third one, please, tonight? And I'm on good course here. Heaven's will is that God's will be done on earth rather than man's. Heaven's will is that God's name be glorified on earth. How about number three? Heaven's will is that Christ's kingdom would be on earth. Thy kingdom what, class? Come. Thy kingdom come, it says in verse 2. Do you know there's two places on the earth where God wants His kingdom to come? Two places. That they must be or His kingdom can't come. We think of natural about under the heavens, right? We think about naturally in the heavens of man, as the Bible would call it, right? In the atmospheric heaven, the terrestrial heavens that we live in right now, between the clouds and the earth, right? That space, so to speak, of the three heavens that we know, terrestrial, celestial, and then the third heaven, the abode of God. But we find here today, the other place that the kingdom of God must be is in the heart of man.
Right. Amen.
It must be first in the heart of man. It can never be upon the earth. Wasn't that what the disciples struggled with? They wanted the Christ kingdom to come. They wanted to break Roman bondage. They wanted to be at the right. Well, remember James and John asked, Lord, who's going to be at your right hand? We want to, when you come to the kingdom, they weren't talking about spiritual kingdom. They were talking about the physical, literal kingdom. When you come to the kingdom, when they take you to the throne of Jerusalem, who's going to be at your right hand? And they said, how about us? And he said, it'll be to those appointed of my Father. My friend, he wasn't talking about some physical kingdom. He's talking about spiritual kingdom. Jesus is at whose hand right now in heaven? He's at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? And the Bible says in Luke 17:21, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Heaven's will is that people would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How do we know that's God's will? Well, the Bible certainly plainly tells us in many times, in many areas, the will of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? God is for everybody. The Bible says in Titus 2 and verse 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to how many men? All men, all that will look for it and receive it when it's given. And so there's joy in heaven, the Bible says, over one sinner that cometh to the Lord. So we know what the will of heaven is upon earth in the manner. That's why we have to reach all we can. Thank God, Brother Ken took the opportunity to ask the guy, speak to the guy, say, hey, listen, can I give you something? Well, you don't ever know what God's going to do in the background. Why? Because heaven's will is that man come to know Jesus Christ. We just have to have willing people that are willing to deny themselves, right, and put themselves out there for the sake of the Lord, realizing that no matter what happens, it's not up to them, it's up to God, but we know what God's will is that we try to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I say to you, in the heavens of man, imagine this, if you will, not only in the heart of man, but in the heavens of man. Imagine what it would be like to have heaven on earth. What would it be like to have heaven on earth? How about this? What will it be like when there is heaven on earth? Amen. When God comes down in majestic glory and dwells upon the earth in the new Jerusalem and rules and reigns. Heaven's will, by the way, and one of the byproducts of that is there will be peace on earth. Can you imagine peace in Congress and in the Senate? The government, peace, perfect peace. Well, Luke 2 and verse 13 says, how do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible says, suddenly there was an angel of the multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Hey, listen, God wants peace on the earth. I love, notice the praising part there. Don't forget, by the way, Solomon, when he bowed at that great high priestly prayer that he prayed in 2 Kings 8 and 9, guess what he did on the altar? Fell to his knees and he did what? The Bible says he lifted up his hands toward heaven. Hey, why? Praising God that God was going to bring peace to the earth. Today, you and I know conflict dominates the world, both the physical and the spiritual world, doesn't it? Is there not a world that turmoil does not reign in? The physical world about us full of turmoil. You know, you can't even go to the cashier without catching sometime the frustrations of all of her, maybe their frustration and the conflict and the controversy. But not only is the external one, but what about the one that dwells within you? The dark and the light, the good and the bad, right? The evil and all those, that good man and that old man, that new man and that old man in your heart that always battles for supremacy and control and that conflict. Boy, won't it be great one day to not have that battle anymore?
Yes.
Won't it be bad? Won't it be wonderful when I'm not tempted to look, tempted to say, tempted to go, tempted to touch? And there's only one option, and that only option is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That'll be a blessing. How about, if you will, please, today, that imagine if that were the prayer of every person on earth. That's what the will of heaven is. The will of heaven is that every person on earth pray for the kingdom of God to come. How about this? How about if every person, and that's a little extreme, isn't it? But how about this? What if every Christian, and that's really who that's written to, isn't it? It's really to the Christian. What would happen if every member of Victory Baptist Church prayed for God's kingdom to come? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I wonder if it would change us. I wonder if it would, if we were so cognizant in our mind every day in our prayer time to just spend a moment to say, oh Lord, by the way, in case somebody hasn't asked you, let me ask you, Lord, would you come today? Would you come to take us to be with you? Our great heart's desire is to be where you are. And we'll never be better, Lord, than we will be when we're with you.
Amen.
Boy, just think if everybody in this church prayed that every day. And our focus began to get off of the things in the world and on Jesus Christ. What a great love we would have. What a great commonality. What a great vision we could have together. What a great heart we could have for those that are lost in sin and in the bondage of sin. Even lost people and Christians alike. Listen, imagine if that were the prayer of each individual. Every day, our consuming thought and real expectation. What if it was that Christ could come at any moment? You ever been excited that somebody's coming to visit? You know, excited Randy comes to visit. I know that you have loved ones that come to visit, or you go to their house, and they say, sometimes your grandkids will say, "Are you coming? Are you coming?" And then maybe you don't come right away, and they say, "Well, when are you coming? When are you coming?" And then they later on they might will say, they don't see you in a while. They say, "I thought you were coming. I thought you said you were coming. I want you to come. Will you come?" Well, I wonder if Jesus Christ felt that way about us. Wouldn't that change our lives?
Yes.
Boy, that's the will of heaven. That's the will of heaven for heaven's will on earth. That's what it is. Hey, can I give you the last one here, please, tonight? I'm going to come right in here and give you a little change back. Number four, please, then. How about this, if you will? Number one, heaven's will is that God's name be glorified on earth. Number two, heaven's will is that God's will be done on earth rather than man's. Lord, not my will, but thy will. Heaven's will is that Christ's kingdom be on earth. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." And then, if you will, please, heaven's will is that our trials on earth be used for God's will in heaven. Well, I'm not going to turn to it tonight, but Romans 8:28 is one we could all quote, isn't it? Right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, those of them that are called according to his purpose, and whom he foreknew, he did conform to be, or to be predestinated to be conformed, what? To the image of his Son, isn't it? So God wants our trials to change our lives. And can I tell you today that we take trials too personal? We really do. We take them too personal in our lives. God's not trying to be personal with us in the manner that he's trying to be overburdening of us, but God's trying to change us and mold us into what he would want us to be. You know, sometimes we resist trials, don't we? And we ask God to do what? If there be any way, Jesus did it, didn't he? If there be any way, take this cup from me. But without the cup, there's no suffering. And without suffering, there's no payment. And without payment, there's no redemption. And without redemption, there's no salvation. Without salvation, there's no hope. There's no hope. And without hope, there's nothing. And so we find here today that God has designed our trials in our life for perfecting. In trials we have our own will. What's our will in the trials that we face? Deliver me, God, from this trial. But can I tell you today, maybe our prayer shouldn't be, "God, deliver me." But God, help me to learn what you want me to learn, because I know this is the will of heaven. Now we do understand sometimes we bring those things on ourselves, don't we? By our disobedience or by that we reap what we sow in a negative way. Thank God we can do it in the good way too, but in the negative way. But we find here today that sometimes God is sending us through those things. I like what it says here, one of my favorite verses, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us an exceeding far more weight of glory." What does that mean? Does that mean in heaven? Here's exactly what the verse says. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What does that mean? Does that mean that the small time that I face here on earth and the trials that I face are going to compare nothing to the glory that's going to be revealed in heaven to me? It's not what it means. In the context of Scripture, it means God's glory revealed in me. It means God revealing himself in a new and deeper way. Would it be worth it if God sent you through a trial so that you could know him better? Can I tell you, sometimes that's the only way we can know him, isn't it? Because we're resistant to do that. Sometimes we're resistant in our own person to really try to develop that relationship with God. Why? Because we don't know how sometimes, so we don't put the effort through there, or whatever the case may be. But hey, listen, sometimes God puts us in a difficult place so that we can learn to grow in the grace and knowledge, that we can learn to struggle in the difficulty, just like maybe a young tender plant tries to break through the earth. And it has to struggle and labor as the sun is calling it out. And the rain is calling it out to break the clods of earth and to spring forth in the little sprout that's going to one day become a great plant of some kind that's useful here upon the earth. For man and animal. Or for God's glory, by the way. Genesis 50 and verse 20 said this, and Joseph saying this to his brothers. Remember that? After he had revealed himself to them in Egypt as he's a second in command. And says, but as for you, you thought it evil unto me. Right? You thought when you cast me into the pit and sold me into slavery and wanted to kill me, all that. He said, but guess what? God meant it for what? God meant it for good. You know, sometimes God allows, I told the Sunday school class this morning, kind of in this passage, and sometimes God allows us to go through difficult times so He can do something greater in our life or in the lives of others about us. Can I tell you that heaven's will on earth is for you to go through trials and difficulties. It's not to break you, it's not to make you bitter, but it's certainly to make you better and more useful for His, for the Master's use. Hey, listen, heaven's will is that we stand for Christ in this difficult day, as we know that. To stand fast, by the way. Not to take a stand, by the way. We should be already standing. To stand for Christ in a difficult day. To be steadfast. Here's some of my prayer. I know this is God's will. I have principle on it. And I always thank God that I can pray with knowledge. That's a blessing, isn't it? When I have the principle. Sometimes, by the way, I feel like God's doing something in my life. I don't exactly know what it is. I think I've mentioned that to you lately. But I want the will of God. But with the will of God comes surrender and sacrifice. I've got to be willing to give God that portion that He's trying to do in my life and through me. But I quote these things often. I quote these verses. Stand fast in the Lord. I quote this. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Word. God, help me to be steadfast and unmovable. I know that's heaven's will for earth. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? Another verse that I quote many times as I give my body a living sacrifice to the Lord is, be strong in the Lord in His power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the what? Can I tell you, heaven's will is that you defeat Satan upon the earth, and you can defeat him. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And then, my friend, can I tell you to endure hardness? Well, ask the Lord sometimes, God, help me to be a good soldier. I know what it's like to be a soldier. I know what it's like to endure a little bit of hardness. Maybe not hardness of some others I've had to endure in battle and that type of thing. Never been in battle, but I've had to endure a little hardness, a little loneliness, a little without, so to speak, I guess, and probably not much to even compare it to. But boy, I want to be a good soldier in the Christian life. And I want to endure hardness as a good soldier. Hey, isn't it wonderful today that God gives us some things? He says, thy will be done on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. Hey, won't you ask God, God, help me to focus on, Lord, I want heaven's will done on earth. And Lord, I certainly want it done in my life. And review this passage of Scripture. Certainly the will of God is that you pray for the kingdom to come. And boy, if you pray for that every day, it'll change your life, I promise you. If you will acquiesce, because to really do that sincerely, guess what you have to sacrifice in your life? All of your dreams. All of your plans. You got to be willing to lay them down and say, God, I have plans. Nothing wrong, by the way, with you having plans. Nothing wrong with that. But you got to be willing to lay them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Say it with me. On earth as it is in... God bless you. Stand please tonight if you will. Thank you.